about you gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Fire beer mug.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I've got 2 tickets to paradise. I've got 2 tickets to paradise. Excellent guitar riff.
I mean, these guys aren't really my friends, you know, I barely know their names. I mean, I know Carlos, but only because of that old song, Carlos the Tickle Monster.
Wait, what song is that?
Oh, God, I knew he made that up. But it did help me remember.
We need to try to figure out how to create education better.
And now.
So who should you turn to fund your lunch?
Our feature presentation.
What?
We're having good times, aren't we?
We
Who
are.
Should you turn to fund your lund? That's an excellent question, actually.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 18th of June.
Muggs, you know I love you, right?
Yes. Well, you do?
What? I do. You know I love you. And I fear that you'll be dead by 30. And that's a sincere fear of mine because, again, pointing back to the vine I saw over the weekend of you laying with your eyes closed on the ground and somebody shoveling pizza into your mouth, I thought, this is a boy who's not going to make it to 30. I'm concerned.
You know what was awesome about that is that every other system of eating was fine. His eyes were closed, but he knew instinctively when there's pizza near your face, open your mouth.
Right.
And then they'd put it in, then he'd chew, and still his eyes are closed. He has no idea what's going on except for he knows to do that.
Exactly. He's really just like a baby, and his whole world is just his mother's breast. That's
right.
It. He's unaware of the room he's in, the city, the country, the other people in the room. He just knows food. That's
I'm just
it.
Upset that the people there didn't start experimenting with other things, putting them in his mouth, because he would open his mouth for anything at that point.
Well, you could have been the guy to do that, Kevin. You've got something. Well, here's a diet, Kevin.
Wouldn't that be the best thing that has ever happened?
Yes, it would.
No.
Yes, it would. We would never stop laughing about that.
No.
Here's a diet that absolutely works, and unfortunately, this woman has stopped the diet, but maybe because she's already lost enough weight, and I want you to seriously consider this. Her name is she was born Christine Shine, but she changed her name back in the 80s to a Hindu word that means new or rebirth, so she goes by Naveena Shine now. So she's that person, okay?
All right.
She's that crazy person. She lives in Washington State. She's gotten worldwide publicity for the diet that she has been on for the past 45 days. She is on the Living by Sunshine diet. She is subscribing
Sounds
to a
like science.
She is subscribing to a new age belief that sunshine can be a substitute for food, that you can live by photosynthesis. It's called breatharianism is what it's called. And she substitutes sunshine for food, and that's what she's living on.
So when she's hungry, she just goes outside,
gets a little sun. Yeah, she did quit on Wednesday though, in part because she is out of money, and in part because of the public reaction. Apparently, she just couldn't take the nonstop scorn that she was getting for living on sunshine.
Why would she quit if she's out of money? Sunshine is free.
Right, because I guess she needs to go to – I don't know. That's a great question.
Maybe work.
Maybe she needs to work, but you can still – I mean, you can still be on this diet if you go to work.
Well, it depends.
Depends
not if you're stuck in an office in a cubicle.
Yeah. And she says she needs to pay her – maybe she needs to pay her rent or mortgage as well.
Sure.
She was trying to get people to subsidize her while she was on this diet. And she got $425 in contributions through her website. That's all. People are trying to kickstart everything now, even stupid stuff, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this called fasting?
Well, she was doing more than that. I mean, she was going outside and soaking up the sunshine. That was what her thing was.
That's
so
true.
Fasting and tanning.
It's fasting and tanning. Exactly. How much weight has she lost, you may be wondering? Well, when she started 45 days ago, she's 5'4", and she weighed 159 pounds to start with.
All right.
That's a woman who could afford a diet, right?
Yes.
She could lose a few lbs.
Yep.
Well, now she's down to 126.
Wow.
So in 45 days, she lost 33 pounds.
That's impressive.
That sounds like the kind of diet Muggs needs.
The sun
and not eating
actually helps you lose weight.
Apparently so, yeah. The only thing she was having was water and tea. Those are the only two things she was having. No hard food or anything like that. I'm just shocked by 33 pounds in 45 days. Doesn't it seem like that's an awful lot of weight to drop?
It is, but if you're not eating.
Yeah, if you're not eating, you're going to drop. I think one of those things about dieting is that you could lose a pretty decent amount of weight early, but then once you get down to where your ideal weight is, it's a lot harder.
Right,
she's
exactly.
She's going to bounce right back up, I'm guessing.
Yeah, maybe she starts eating.
Yeah.
What about really the sun, Lisa?
The healthiest way to do it. I don't know.
she partly needed money because she had maxed out her credit cards buying equipment like 8 security cameras that she installed in the trailer she lives in. She wanted to be recorded 24/7 to prove that she wasn't cheating as she went around her business not eating food.
She's stupid.
Did she say the sun makes her full?
She didn't say that.
Get all the nutrients that she needs,
yeah,
any of that?
I don't get what she's doing that's any different from somebody who's camping but not eating.
I don't necessarily get the science of this one, but I do get that she lost 33 pounds in 45 days.
Yeah. It's science.
That's kind of where that's what made me think of mugs, though. That's why I thought, well, this is, I mean, it seems extreme, but it does seem like it also accomplishes the goal. Well, no point, by the way, did she post any vines of her on the floor with her eyes closed eating pizza.
Eating sunshine, that's why.
Yeah, she's eating sunshine. Exactly. Yeah. So, good times.
Let's have Bugs do that. You want to try it? 45 days?
That doesn't sound too good to me.
Mugs would die in 3 days.
He would.
Mugs is going to die if he doesn't get food by 6 a.m.
That's true. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. What's up with Florida on the program today?
What is up with Florida?
As they do have the best stories, 99% of them come from Florida. It's really bizarre.
They're not slowing down, I'll tell you that.
We have, I don't know if you saw Larry Flint's interview where he was talking about conservatives and how they're the devil.
No, I did not see that.
Give you some more details on that.
Okay.
We have Dean Norris. You may not recognize his name. He plays Hank on Breaking Bad, the bald guy, and he's in Under the Dome, which starts on Monday night.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
We have You Lied Your Way Into Your Job. It's funny, we brought up this topic, You Lied Your Way Into Your Job, and pretty much everyone in the office said, yeah, I lied. Oh, yeah, I lied. Yeah, I lied. Pretty much everybody that works on this show lied.
Got to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I understand you want to be present your best possible self to a future employer. I get that. I get that there's a certain amount of embellishment. You know, we've all seen, you know, high school kids who, you know, make up extracurricular stuff that they do to make their resume look better for college.
Pad
and things like
the
that.
Resume, sure.
But there also is a line that you cross at which point it's just fraud, right?
Absolutely. That's why Omar's working here still.
That's our people. Our people are straight up fraud.
No question.
Oh, no. No, I faked my ID.
Here's the thing, though. We're bad enough at our jobs that we don't notice when somebody else lies their way in.
Yeah, we can't tell.
I guess so.
That happens. Howie Mandel's going to be on the program today.
Always fun.
He's one of the judges on America's Got Talent. And, boy, I saw a teaser for this last night in Chicago. And people be crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
It's ridiculous the kind of stuff people do.
It is. I don't watch that show much, but it is crazy how every 90 seconds it's in a completely different experience on stage.
It's not just singing. It could be juggling. It could be dancing, whatever. It's just it's just a bunch of nut jobs.
Pet acts and acts with knives. And yeah, it's just crazy.
So we got that all coming up. And we also have West on West. Adam West reading lyrics from Kanye West, the album comes out today.
Sounds fun.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is a silent film, and the name of that is You Will Leave a Mark. It is 5:53.
It's stupid, a film that has no sound. It's dumb.
It's absurd. Absurd.
Everybody too drunk, Kevin, even when I'm not drunk.
When are you not drunk?
Right now.
When? Okay. All right.
Buzz.
Here's
not
the problem. You have to admit your situation before you can get any better, Kevin. That's what we're telling you.
My situation is I sound drunk even when I'm not.
Okay. Look, if you want to stick with that story,
that's my story.
Then when you're ready, you come back to us and we'll help you. Okay.
By the way, I have to give Kevin credit for a genius move because it's brilliant. Because if the story is I sound drunk even when I'm not, then he's saying, you know, he can be drunk all the time and still.
No, it's just my natural state. That's all.
Just how I sound.
Part of us.
All right. 5:54. It's Tuesday. Ralph is here. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Beach.
Amanda Bynes! I love you.
More?
More.
More goodness?
In the ongoing game, Where in the World is Amanda Bynes? We go from New York to Buffalo, New York, and now to Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Okay.
Where the story comes out that she was at a hotel there, casino, apparently still is, for all we know. She was in the hot tub.
Okay. I like it.
By herself.
Okay. Photos?
Constantly staring at her phone while sitting in the hot tub. And other people were, it's a hotel hot tub, so there's other people in there. So some people approach her and they say, can we take a picture with you? She said, yeah, okay. So they start to snap some pictures. Immediately she grabs the phones from them and has editing power over whether they can keep the photo or not.
Okay. So she, if she checks it and likes it, she gives
then
it
she
back
gives
to you?
The phone back to you.
What?
Yeah, that's how it goes. So she's in the hotel casino lobby and a guy takes her picture. And she loses it, saying, sir, sir, you can't take a picture of me. I have to see that. And he's looking at her, and apparently he starts to back off and run away. She starts to chase him.
Love it.
Around the casino, demanding his phone.
Love it.
Casino security had to step in because she was so relentless, demanding his phone, that they had to security say, ma'am, please leave this man alone. They had to pull her off of him.
Sweet.
You know what's weird about this is she was standing in a hotel lobby. It's not like he had a, you know, a huge lens and he was getting her in her room or something like that.
In her backyard or anything.
Right.
She's just walking through the hotel and he says, oh, there's Amanda Bynes. He snaps a picture. She sees him and starts to chase him around the casino.
That's awesome.
Security had to taser. I wish they did.
Amanda, please, .com.
Later, she was seen hitting up the slot machines, wearing a dress that still had the tags attached from the store, dangling off of them.
That's hip, though, right now.
And holding a dog that no one knows where she got.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So she stole a dog?
The dog still had his tags on it, too, as well. It was a brand new dog. So she continues to be a joy.
She's the best.
Every day she gives me something. Charlie Sheen has reached out to Amanda, by the way, you know.
As
he did Lindsay to, you know, try to help her along, offered her a role in the show. She didn't really respond.
I thought he was off of her, though, since she exposed their private texts.
That was Farrah Abraham.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
I can't keep all the horse straight. I'm sorry.
Now Charlie's got another fight on his hands. Sources on the set of Anger Management say that he has fired his co-star Selma Blair.
Uh-oh.
After she complained to upper management that Chuck was, in her words, a menace to work with.
That's not really a surprise to anyone, is it?
No.
Charlie found out about the conversation she had with producers and fired her off the set. Now they need someone to play his love interest on that show. Word is he's willing to pay Mila Kunis $1 million per episode for 10 episodes if she'll do it.
Wow.
It's not a bad gig.
No kidding.
But she doesn't need Charlie Sheen's show. No. You know, Charlie Sheen's show, Anger Management, you may remember, had that bizarre contract where he did 10 original episodes for FX. And if they hit a certain threshold on the ratings, that the contract was automatically he would get another 90 episodes.
Which is unheard of.
Which is unheard of. No one orders 90 episodes. So they are shooting those all at once. And they're about halfway through. They've shot about 50 episodes so far.
Wow. But they're good.
I bet they are, too.
The faster you make like television, that. The better it is.
And here's the downside, too, for FX. The ratings have dropped significantly since the first 10. So they're going to have 100 episodes of something that nobody really
wants to
watch.
Have you ever seen one of those episodes?
I have not, sir.
Me either. I saw the first one.
And?
I mean, you know, it was 2.5 men type comedy. Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
All right.
So now it looks like they're going to have to write her character out of the show or recast. So, no word on how they're going to fix things. Meanwhile, his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, her shot at rehab isn't going too well. 21st, by the way.
21st rehab?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, she claims she's not really drunk. She just sounds drunk.
That sounds like what a nuts look at some of this. This stupid, dumb, absurd.
She left the Betty Ford Clinic because the program was, in her words, too hard.
Aww.
That's the thing about rehab.
Poor girl.
You know what they do? They make you stop doing drugs. That's ridiculous.
Doesn't sound like this.
She also couldn't handle doing the manual labor. Apparently, like a lot of rehabs, you have to clean bathrooms and you know, do stuff around the facility. It gives you a sense of purpose and focus and helps you keep your mind off of whatever substance it is that you're missing. She didn't care for that part of it. So she has left the Betty Ford Clinic. Unfortunately for her, there will be another court hearing tomorrow regarding the custody of her twin boys that she had with Charlie. And the judge is not expected to take too kindly to her walking out of her rehab facility.
Now, does Charlie have them?
No, Denise Richards,
oh, right.
Another ex-wife of Charlie's, is currently raising the little guys. And word is, they could not be happier. And they have spent constant time with her for the past 9 months and are just thrilled to be part of her family. So this may become a permanent situation.
Just leave it like it is.
We'll have to wait and see. I feel bad for the kid. That's the only thing I care about in that whole situation.
Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris, his juggernaut continues. Of course, he hosted the Tony Awards. I don't care if you watch the Tonys or not. You should go and see the opening number from him hosting the Tony Awards. Whether you care about Broadway shows or not, just watch that. You can find it on YouTube. It's one of the most amazing one-man performances I've seen in a long, long time.
How was he not out of breath?
It was ridiculous.
He just sang through the... I mean, he's
running,
singing
live.
He's jumping through things. It's...
Muggs is out of breath when he changes clothes.
I know.
And Neil Patrick Harris did that in this thing. Like, twice he changed outfits. He is hosting the Emmys in September, and he's just signed to return to Broadway next spring in the lead in the rock musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So, good for Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Pretty much do whatever he wants, can he?
Pretty much. And he's in the movie A Million Ways to Die in the West that I just finished shooting in New Mexico. He's very funny in that. Yeah, so... I hate people with talent. Make the rest of us look bad.
That's why you hang out on this show,
Ralph. That's right. Look at me shine. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Madden, actor from Game of Thrones, plays Robb Stark on that series. 27 years old today.
Dead.
David Giantoli from Grimm, lead on that show, is 33 years old. Stephen Chen, guitarist for Airborne Toxic Event, is 35. Country singer Blake Shelton, probably best known now as the judge of The Voice. 37 years old actress Isabella Rossellini. Daddy wants blue velvet. 61 years old today. And musician Paul McCartney. Woo! He is 71 years old today. Paul McCartney, a Beatle, is 71 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We are approaching the end times.
Played Bonnaroo over the weekend, Ralph. Kevin and I were talking about this off the air yesterday. 2.5 hour show that just never let up. 71 years old.
Legendarily, he just hits the stage and just destroys every time he plays live.
Amazing. I saw him at a charity event. You know, I'm not a big Beatles fan.
Yeah. Right.
Pitch wise, like a computer.
His voice hasn't changed since 1964.
Perfect.
It's madness.
It's crazy.
He's a robot.
He's not in madness, by the way. He's in the Beatles.
No! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Like 2 minutes after six.
Mike Muffaletto, which doesn't sound as much like a name as a delicious Italian bistro, is our latest winner. He's from Thousand Oaks, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here today, and he won tickets to the upcoming 5th Annual Epicenter, which is happening September the 21st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. So way to go, Mike. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, A Day to Remember, Pierce the Veil, and so much more. You can get details on how to buy your tickets this Friday at krock.com. I got a question for you guys.
Right.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards! Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you? Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
We started spotlighting the Sunshine State a few months ago when we realized that it was just impossible to keep up with all the great stories coming out of Florida. They do get more than their fair share of awesomeness going on down there. And we start with a story that you might have seen last week on TMZ.com, you guys. Did you see what happened to Chad Ochocinco in court?
Oh, yeah.
He happens to be a Florida resident, but he is the football player, one-time famous football player. His real name is Chad Johnson. I don't remember what his original crime was, but he was up in front of the judge being talked about the end of his probation. He had basically finished all of his terms, and he was going to be free from court obligations, and basically he was just there to make an appearance and impress the judge, and then they were going to send him off on his way, and he would be done with his legal problems. Well, the judge asked if he was satisfied with his attorney with the way the things had gone, and Chad slaps his attorney on the ass, reaches around. You saw the video, Kevin. Reaches around and slaps him on the butt like you would do, you know, coming off of a football play. The judge had no time for that nonsense, thought it was incredibly disrespectful, completely lost her patience, said, forget it, Mr. Johnson. The deal is off. I'm kicking you out of the courtroom and extending your jail term by 30 days.
What?
No way.
That seems ridiculous.
Back to prison.
That is
that's
just
ridiculous.
It's stupid that he did that.
Of course.
But he's a football player.
Imagine if he was a porn star. What he would have done.
But because he lives in Florida, he certainly makes the grade and shows up on today's feature. Spring Hill, Florida. This is great, too. A man called 911 nine times the other day from Spring Hill, Florida. Deputy responded to his home on Trout Circle. He called 911 nine times hanging up. 20-year-old Nicholas Seguin was asked, "Hey, what up?" He said, "Yes, it was me. I did call 911. I was trying to prove to my friend that 911 does not come up on caller ID when they call you back."
What?
He had to call nine times? He wanted to see what would happen. He was arguing with his friend about whether, hey, if I call 911 and hang up and they call me back, what will show up on the screen?
I see.
So why he had to do it nine times in a row to make that argument, I don't know. But yes, of course, he was arrested for making false 911 calls and was transported to the Hernando County Jail.
Here's the thing about 911 calls, and it's probably a good tip. It's an emergency line.
Right.
Right.
That's it.
No effing around with 911. Here's a man named Paul Marcy. He's in the news. He was in the Pompano Beach playground. He walked up to a group of adults and children and said, "If you have a video camera or a phone, you're going to want to tape this."
Okay.
What would you expect somebody would be doing if he showed up? I would think he'd be doing some sort of a stunt, like a backflip or something like that. Something cool, right?
Something worth taping, yeah.
Well, he then whipped his penis out and began urinating in front of everybody. There were at least five children under nine there with their parents in the playground when the man committed the act. They, called 911. The police came, and they did arrest him. His permanent address is listed at large, by the way, which means he has no fixed address. He was charged with lewd and lascivious exhibition of an offender 18 or older with a victim younger than 16. Now, why would you say, hey, videotape this if you knew you were going to do something that was going to get you in that kind of trouble?
I'm not sure he's in his full mental capacities there,
Bean.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful he was urinating, I can
no
be honest.
Kidding. I thought you were going a different direction with that.
A little easier to explain to the kids.
Thought you were going up instead of down.
Deltona, Florida is where we go next. This is Randy Zipperer, a 49-year-old man who was arrested late Tuesday on suspicion of stabbing his brother in the stomach with a knife over a fight that started over some missing macaroni and cheese. Apparently, he's living in his house with his brother, and he's like, "Hey, 47-year-old brother, where's my mac and cheese?" Brother says, "I don't know. Let's find it." So they look for the mac and cheese, and the younger brother accidentally knocks over the beer of the older brother.
Oh, see, that's unacceptable.
Look, he had just had enough of his nonsense. First, my mac and cheese goes missing. Now you're knocking over my beer? Take this.
You got it coming.
Pulled out a knife from the kitchen, stabbed his brother in the stomach.
All right, maybe he didn't have that much coming.
Deputies located a 6-inch knife with blood on it. The man, the brother was standing there holding his stomach. He had blood leading from the kitchen into the bedroom. Zipperer was apologetic while talking to the sheriff's report, but also stated he threatened to beat his brother when he got out of jail. So it doesn't sound like they have really necessarily settled all of their issues.
You don't take a man's mac and cheese.
Come on, that's in the Bible.
That's right.
And finally, Kevin, you're going to love this one so much. Kevin is the guy who will drive up a long line of cars that are waiting to exit and cut it at the very last second to avoid the wait.
You say that, but I've never been able to defend myself. But go ahead.
Polk County, Florida. This man was arrested on Thursday, June 13th, for impersonating a law enforcement officer, unlawfully using blue lights on his car. He bought blue lights to put on his car to help him go through traffic.
I like it.
How did you do that, Kevin?
I've read.
A woman called the Polk County Sheriff's Office said she saw a vehicle traveling behind her at a high rate of speed with blue flashing lights. She told the deputy she originally thought the car was an undercover law enforcement officer, but when the car passed her, the driver did not appear to be an officer. The witness encountered the vehicle again, pulled behind it, took a photo of the vehicle and tag. The man, who's impersonating a police officer, exits the vehicle and approaches the witness. She told Vega, "Hey, it's against the law to impersonate an officer," at which point Vega laughed and said, "Good luck with that."
Really? He's taunting her now.
But of course, she, being a busybody, already took down his license plate and called it in, so the police were easily able to track the man down, still traveling with his blue lights on. According to reports, Vega told the deputies he would use the lights to get around people because he thought he was a police officer. He told the deputy, "You can get around so much faster when stupid people are moving out of your way." Ladies and gentlemen, is this Kevin's people or is this a brand new What's Up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Keep
plays Hank Schrader, Walter White's DEA agent brother-in-law on Breaking Bad, and he's one of the stars of the new Breaking Bad, the new Under the Dome on CBS starting next week. We're going to talk to an actor named Dean Norris next hour here on The Kevin DeBean Show. Plus, coming up later on today, we're going to be looking for you if you ever faked or lied your way into a job. I love that topic.
Yeah, we brought up the topic, and it turns out we don't even need phone calls. We'll take them.
We'll just talk to everyone
here.
We
will take them, but we'll talk to everybody that has a job here on our show.
And, exactly.
Including Bean and I, basically. And then we'll just do that.
No. We know how to do a morning show. Mm. Absolutely put us on. Of course we could do it.
Of course.
Plus the Bachelorette report. Coming up. Mm-hmm. First, though, today's a big day, you guys. One of the most anticipated albums of the year. You know, there are very few albums these days that get the kind of excitement level that you're finding around this Kanye West release today. I mean, it leaked on Friday, and all weekend long you couldn't go on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or anywhere without seeing people writing about it and quoting lyrics from it. I mean, it's just, it's a sensation.
There was Daft Punk. That was just about as big.
Yeah.
Right.
And, and then there's Queens of the Stone Age, which, let's face it, even though it's our favorite music, not as big.
Mm-hmm. Not as big. Everybody is talking about Kanye. Yeah. So we thought it might be nice for us to spend a moment kind of spotlighting this new release that's available everywhere for download today.
We couldn't actually talk to Kanye, so we're going to play a clip from a Kanye West song. And then we're going to have Adam West read the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
So West on West is basically what we're calling this. The first song is Black Skinhead.
Middle America packed in. Can they see me on my black skin? Number one question they ask him. Every question you ask him.
All right. So that's the song. And now Adam West with the lyrics.
Enter the kingdom. But watch who you bring home. They see a black man with a white woman at the top floor. They gone come to kill King Kong. Middle America packed in, came to see me in my black skin. Number one question they asking, every question you asking, if they don't get ran out by Catholics. Here comes some conservative Baptists claiming I'm overreacting like them black kids in Chirac. Bitch.
See, this is actually very useful because Kanye's lyrics can go by kind of fast.
Yeah,
it's nice to
notice
have to spend
any
some time
of those words.
Yeah.
This is called I Am a God, a new song from Kanye West.
I just talked to Jesus. He said, what up, Jesus? I said, I'm chilling, trying to stack these millions.
Yeah. The name of the album is Jesus, by the way.
Okay.
Not to tell you anything about Kanye, but that's the name of it. Adam West.
I just talked to Jesus. He said, what up, Jesus? I said, I'm chilling, trying to stack these millions. I know he the most high, but I am a close high. Mi casa es su casa. That's that. Costra Nostra.
What the hell is going on in that song?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on in any Kanye West song.
That's, by the way, that's Hurry Up With My Damn Massage, Hurry Up With My Damn Menage, Where's My Croissant? That's sure. That song, too.
Sure. New Kanye West album, the song is called New Slaves.
What you want, a Bentley, fur coat, a diamond chain? All you blacks want all the same thing.
All right, so you got that. And then to clarify, we have Adam West reading the lyrics.
You see, it's broke racism. That's that don't touch anything in the store. And this rich racism, that's that come in, please buy some more. What do you want? A Bentley? Fur coat? A diamond chain? All you blacks want the same thing. Used to only be now everybody playing. Spending everything on Alexander Wang. New slaves.
Please, let's make a duet happen.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt
and Trey, thank you.
This is like... Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
Oh, help me, Kevin. Help me. All the times when I've thrown you under the bus, but help me this time, because now I'm the one struggling.
Says the guy who made the rule that no one can help me.
You guys are going to have to step up unless you want me to be number one on Moments With at the end of 2013.
I'm okay with that.
I think
too.
I'm in the lead right now.
I'm strangely okay with that. I have no problem with somebody else wrestling that from me.
6:50 now, Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat.
Before I get to the beat, how about some tickets to a very cool event? Sometimes you've probably said to yourself, hey, I'd love to go to one of those big-time Hollywood red carpet premieres. Why not me? Why can't I rub elbows with the hoi polloi? Why can't I be hanging out with the beautiful people? What's wrong with me?
Look up hoi polloi.
When's my turn? When do I get to be special? Well,
do you have an answer?
Today may be your lucky
today
day.
Today may be the day.
I have got tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Despicable Me 2.
Yay!
Listen to this list of stars. Steve Carell, Ken Jeong, Kristen Wiig, and many, many more high-powered showbiz celebrities all provide the voices to the characters in Despicable Me 2, the sequel to the very entertaining and successful Despicable Me. In this film, Gru returns, only this time he's recruited to help battle an even more powerful super criminal. Despicable Me 2 is in theaters everywhere Wednesday, July the 3rd. However, the red carpet world premiere is Saturday, June the 22nd at the Gibson Amphitheater. That's a pretty cool deal.
Wow.
They take over the entire amphitheater and make it a giant showbiz Lollapalooza.
They may tear it down while you're in there, though.
They may. Don't get me wrong.
Careful.
Wear a hard hat. If you'd like to go and maybe bring three friends that you can impress, or maybe you're a dude and you want to bring like three chicks and say, ladies, you want to roll with me to red carpet premiere? Boom. Instant foursome. That's how that happens right there.
That's it.
Call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First two callers will get a four-pack of passes to the premiere of Despicable Me 2.
Bean, you've often said Despicable Me is one of your favorites.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I've never seen an animated film.
Is this Pixar? I don't do the Pixar.
I am joyless.
He's never seen an animated film. Isn't that weird? Take it easy, man.
He just committed Harry Carey because of it. So depressed. This is not Pixar. No, this is another film.
Well, I'm sure they're all delightful. DreamWorks Universal, I'm being told.
Yes, DreamWorks Universal. And, by the way, if I haven't mentioned it, Hot Topic, one of my favorite stores ever.
You're the best.
I love that store.
I only shop at Hot Topic.
I shop
the only place I buy. Groceries, everything.
Everything.
I go there when I don't need anything.
Well, you know what? You think you don't need anything. You get in there, and then you see the wonderful array of wonderful merchandise they sell there, and you're like, I forgot I needed that. I didn't even know that existed, but now I need it. God bless Hot Topic. All right, let's talk about the entertainment news. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Okay.
The heareth the lesson in the Cyrus family. Less than a week after Billy Ray and Tish Cyrus have announced their plans to end their marriage, Miley's brother, Trace Cyrus, has announced his engagement to his on-again, off-again girlfriend, Brenda Song. She was spotted with a big fat rock on that finger, and it looks as though the two are going to tie the knot. This story has everything. First of all, Brenda Song is one of Bean's creepy crushes.
Yeah,
I love her.
Ugh.
And the two of them were spotted in a very romantic location when they noticed that she was wearing the engagement ring at a local 7-Eleven is where they spotted Brenda Song.
They were really stepping it up.
They were really in love.
Really going for
one slurpee, two straws. I rented that once, and you don't want to know. You just don't want to know. Amanda Bynes could be even more dangerous than she looks if you dare to take her photograph and don't give her veto power. She's in Atlantic City right now. She was in a hotel lobby.
Ralph, can I just ask this? If you're in public, you don't get veto power.
Oh, au contraire, mon frere. Amanda seems to think that she gets final photo approval over any photo of her taken ever. She was in the hot tub at the casino, at the hotel where she's staying, and people were asking, could we take a photo? And she's like, sure. And they take a photo, and she goes, give me the camera. And then she looked at it. If she didn't like the picture, she would delete it off of your camera or phone.
That's very Bieber-esque, by the way, that photo policy.
It is. It's obnoxious.
So she was walking through the hotel lobby of this hotel casino in Atlantic City, and a guy, 56-year-old father with his kids there, took a picture of her, and she went ape-ess on him, saying, you can't take my picture. I need to see that. I need to see if that's okay. And he's like, no, and he slowly backs away, as you're supposed to do when confronted with an Amanda Bynes in the wild.
It's true.
Just make yourself as possible, and then slowly back away. Do not run, because she will think you're prey.
And do not look her in the eye.
Do not engage. Well, she did think he was prey. She started to chase him around the hotel casino. He was looking over his shoulder. He would speed up a little bit. She would speed up. And then she's, Chase, give me the camera. She's demanding the camera.
You think the kids were just baffled by the sight of their dad?
Why is the girl from Nickelodeon chasing us, Daddy?
He's just running from her. Why is Dad even running?
Hotel security had to step in because apparently she was relentless and had to literally physically restrain her from chasing the man down.
I could help Amanda Bynes if she'd just listen. No pictures of you are good. Zero.
I wonder if this has something to do, Ralph, with her fixation with how her nose photographs.
That's you part know, of it, they say.
So she wants to make sure
and
she's
her
getting...
weight. I mean, she and the fact, look, she obviously has some sort of fixation on beauty versus ugliness, right? Because her ultimate insult to say to someone is, I don't care what you say, you're ugly.
Right, but she's a hideous blow beast.
I don't think she sees it that way, Kevin. Huh. I think she's got one of those...
I don't know what a blow beast is. By the way, now that I think about
it. Yeah, one of those... she's got that body dysmorphic problem where she looks in the mirror and sometimes she sees horrible things. Like her eyes, she's had them fixed twice because she thinks she has this skin.
Yeah, it's...
You know, between the bridge of her nose and her eyes, it makes her crazy, and yet she'll pierce her face and she'll shave her head.
It's
and
all horrible and now.
Talk about how she wants to lose 35 pounds.
Yeah.
And she's already rail thin.
She obviously has some issues when it comes to her appearance. So, anyway, poor Brett Cohen, who was chased around the casino in Atlantic City after he tried to take her picture. I feel for him. Good news for superhero movie fans like myself. Sony Pictures has announced they've already scheduled the third and fourth films in the Spider-Man franchise.
Wow. Are they rebooting it again?
No, Spider-Man 2 is currently filming in New York City right now. That is planned for a release in 2014, next summer. Sony has announced they will have a Spider-Man movie ready every 2 years. So 2016 and 2018, we'll see the third and fourth films in the series. So we're going to have Spidey around for some time.
Ralph, you're going to mock me for not knowing this, but does Spidey interact with any of the other superheroes?
No.
He's on his own?
Yes.
His own universe, his own villains. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. Not in the comics, but in the cinema franchise is the case, because Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man as a movie character.
Gotcha.
Marvel owns the rights to the rest of the Marvel universe, so... They won't cross streams anytime soon. Now, maybe if Sony relinquishes those rights at any time and then the property reverts back to Marvel, he will enter into the Marvel Universe, but we won't see that for some time.
Gotcha.
And now I know why Bean likes Norway.
Please enlighten us.
Great article in the Wall Street Journal talking about reality television of Norway. Let me describe to you some of the hit shows in the recent years on Norway television.
All right.
Norwegian television. The view of a camera mounted on top of a train for a 7-hour journey. That's it. They put a camera on top of a train and the train
for
drives
7 hours
through Norway for 7 hours. They took 7 hours of footage and aired it. And
that's
people
a terrible
watched
idea.
It in mass. They watched
that.
It.
I've seen that. That's the train that runs from Oslo to Bergen, right?
One of the most beautiful
Who cares where
train
it goes?
Rides in the world, and a lot of people don't get the opportunity to take that trip, so they put it on TV so everybody can enjoy the beauty of their
That's
country.
That's a terrible idea.
18 hours of salmon swimming upstream was televised. It was a show. Salmon swimming upstream.
Do they only have one channel? There's no competition of any kind there?
No, of course not.
I'm not sure what their situation is.
Well, I'm saying, how can you air 18 hours?
These were popular shows. These were the hits. 30 hours of a nonstop interview with a local author. A guy talking for 30 hours was a hit TV show in Norway. And my favorite one, the 134-hour live broadcast of a ferry traveling along the country's coastline.
Yeah!
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Thank you. Bean finally admits it. Norway blows.
What about the four-hour discussion on the proper way to build a fire? Do you have that one on your list there, Ralph?
No, because
that was very popular, too. They showed fireplaces around Norway and different ways to make fire
no
and stack firewood.
Bean likes it. It's just horrible.
That's the perfect country for him.
It moves a little slower, maybe, than we're used to.
The 134-hour live broadcast of the ferry
Yeah.
pulled in 2.5 million viewers in Norway.
That's a lot in a country that small.
It was half the country's population was tuned in for the 134-hour ferry trip.
I don't even understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
It's my people.
I'm bored! I'm bored! I'm bored!
What kind of goddamn country do they have there? What the F's going on in Norway?
Nothing. That's why they're watching 134 hours.
Ooh, look at the ferries going into water, cheering us. Ooh, look. Ooh, we have coastline in our country. Have you seen this, Pjerkins?
What's it doing now?
What was his name?
Pjerkins.
Okay.
Now it's going by more coastline. Very entertaining. How do we build a fire? Do you have that DVD box set of how to build a fire?
My eyes! My eyes!
F Norway. Just blast it off the planet. I know they're a peaceful country, but I say we nuke them.
They deserve it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Madden, actor from Game of Thrones, played Robb Stark in that series, 27 years old today. David Giuntoli from Grimm, 33 years old today. Stephen Chen, guitarist for Airborne Toxic Event, 35 years old. Country singer and voice judge Blake Shelton is 37. Actress Isabella Rossellini, 61 years old. And legendary musician Sir Paul McCartney of the Beatles, Wings, and his own successful solo career, 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm sorry, Petros. We're not going to have time today.
We got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Love to talk about it, but we just are in a rush.
Bachelorette.
Actor Dean Norris joins us in about a half an hour from Breaking Bad and the new Under the Dome. That's coming up on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, why does Larry Flint hate America? First, though, how did you talk us into having the P on every Tuesday to talk about a show none of us watch, Ralph?
I just hijacked your show.
Yeah.
Didn't. He just said, Petros, call.
No one agreed. I said, this is happening. We're doing this because The Bachelorette is a cultural phenomenon.
All right. Give me your stupid theme song.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petros Papa thinking, so he's holding hands. Kissing and hugging at sunset. Watching The Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks and blows, but you watch it without any regret. Here's the update about The Bachelorette.
It's the Bachelorette update with my co-host, Mr. Petros Papadakis.
Wow.
Hello, brother.
Who's a lover?
You are.
I don't know the answer to that.
Is it true that last night there was some sort of a Mr. Bachelorette contest or something like that? Like
hell
a Miss
yes.
America parody?
Hey,
where the
now somebody's involved in the old Bachelorette
yeah.
report.
Yeah,
good for you. Yeah, right.
I'm just trying to point out, they put that on TV and you guys watched it?
Here's the thing.
There was some kind of link last night with the Mr. America thing because Chris Harrison is involved in Miss America. So
right.
they went to Atlantic City where everybody wants to hang out. And it was just a great 2 hours, guys.
You know, here's the thing.
Hours.
Usually on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, they take you to the most exotic locations on the planet. You go to the rainforest for a date, or you go to the top of the Himalayas or someplace. So they get all these guys together, and Chris Harrison comes out and he says, "We're all going to Atlantic City." And they're like, "Yay!
Yay, wah, New Jersey!" Wah, wah.
They all pretended to be happy. This is my favorite quote about Atlantic City from last night.
You all be meeting her at your first stop. Atlantic City.
Hey! Man, this place is awesome. It's basically like Las Vegas on the ocean.
Yeah, that's what it is. Las Vegas on the ocean.
Yeah, it's not that at all.
Yeah, and you know what? It was crazy. I couldn't believe they didn't get Nucky Thompson to judge the whole beauty pageant. But they did. They got the mayor of Atlantic City to judge the beauty pageant along with the reigning Miss America and, of course, the Bachelorette. With her meaty ass,
oh.
Desiree Hartsock.
Yeah, that's a good ass.
And there were dudes like doing male strip dancing for the.
I was going to say,
mayor,
so
just
if
shaking their pelvis at him,
if
it was
it's
crazy.
The Bachelorette, then it's a guy beauty pageant,
right? So they had a talent portion, whereas Petros mentioned Bryden was doing pelvic thrust in the face of the mayor of Atlantic City, which didn't go over so well, I don't think.
Right.
There was a guy in high heels,
yeah.
walking on the stage flipping hula hoops,
and you guys were
yeah,
watching.
Hula hoops. There was tap dancing.
Tap dancing.
The guy, the hashtag guy, did tap dancing like old school New Orleans homeless kid tap dancing, where you have
right.
tennis shoes with metal nailed to them.
Sure.
Wait, hashtag still on the show?
I
thought he got booted. He's still there.
He's still there.
But he stopped hashtagging, and that
he did.
It kills him. He doesn't hashtag anymore, and I think it actually gives him a chance. But I got to admit, guys, the third episode of every season for these type of shows. and Ralph knows this. They kind of bury a stinker. And last night was not the explosive episode we were looking for.
All right, so this is the last Bachelorette update.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, guys. Oh. We have hope for every week. Yeah. I mean, the journey must continue.
The journey continues.
It goes on for months, and it's a two-hour show. I mean, yeah. I'm surprised that I haven't, like, taken up residency at the station, and you guys haven't built an office for me. I mean, this is a giant undertaking. This is like building an oil pipeline. I mean, the Bachelorette, it's a lot to do.
Yeah, it's like building a mountain is what it's like, now, if you get my meaning.
The nice part was that they, because they were in Jersey, part of the date was they went on a tour of Hurricane Sandy stricken coastline of Jersey.
Nothing says date more than that.
Because that's what Ralph, that's who I want to hear from. When it comes to, I don't want to hear from government officials or environmental experts.
Right.
When it comes to like some kind of natural disaster that affected a lot of people in our country, I want to hear from some chick and a meathead idiot.
Yes. I want the Bachelorette.
I want to see how they interpret the disaster.
The Bachelorette and her roided out date went and they saw the destruction firsthand. And they gave their very palatial date, by the way, to a lovely older couple, Manny and Jan, who had lost their home in Hurricane Sandy.
That sounds like difficult TV to pull off, though, to mix the Bachelorette with Hurricane Sandy.
I can't defend it. It was a wet blanket. It was a lead balloon. It was deflating.
Have you no soul? Have you no heart?
Petros, I think Ralph is in. I mean, I think he liked it.
Well, you had to watch the date of these elderly people.
What?
And it's like, well, wait a minute. I want to watch the date of the meathead with the teeth so white he blinds half of New Jersey. And I want to watch the date with Desiree. I don't even want to watch that date. But why do I have to watch these elderly people making out with their fake teeth?
Sounds like
a table that was set for Des and the meathead.
Because we got to see the old couple dancing to Darius Rucker.
Oh my God! There's nothing you guys are saying that sounds good.
Dude, how about Hootie? I couldn't believe that was a pretty big get, right, Ralph? Yeah. I mean, how did they get Hootie?
Hootie was rocking it. And it was great because this old Jersey married couple in their 60s looked up and said, why is that black man singing country and western music? They had no idea what was going on.
Pete, let me ask you this. I actually want to ask both of you guys this. Is Desiree desirable? Like, are these guys just fighting with each other for her because they want to win because they're dudes? Or is she a prize worth going for?
She's adorable. I think she's adorable.
Well, Ralph convinced me, you know, the first week I was in there with you guys, and I'm really grateful doing this Bachelor thing on your show.
Yeah,
I think
we're excited
for this show.
Right.
Big hit.
And I was in there and I said, look, she looks gaunt. She lost too much weight. She's a praying mantis.
Uh-huh.
And Ralph pointed out her meaty ass.
Yeah. And that turned you around?
Yeah, it did, because she was in a bikini a lot last night. Mm-hmm. That thing is substantial.
Yeah, all right. It's a significant ass.
All right.
But that being said, no, she's not that great.
Oh, it's just stop it!
You put a prize in front of a bunch of stupid idiots, and
that's what I thought
for it. And they get all riled up. That's the beauty. That's the journey of love. That is the Bachelorette.
I thought they were there for love only.
I think she's charming.
Right,
she's charming. She's spunky. She's got a great personality. She brings out the best in these losers. I love Desiree.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time with this week's Bachelorette Report. What about the guy? They send somebody home every week. Would they make the right choice on
that? They sent two home. Brad, the complete dullard. She let him go from the top of a lighthouse. She ditched him at the top of a lighthouse. She did everything but push him off.
What's happening on this show? Well, why is she climbing up to the top of the lighthouse
The famous Absecon Lighthouse in Atlantic City. They went up there for dinner, and then she said, no, you're not
going
to continue.
What's going on?
This journey does not continue.
She wanted to know if his love and her love could light up the night.
That's right.
He never lit the lighthouse, guys.
I never hated you more.
That bulb was burnt out, sadly.
Wow.
And then she didn't give a rose to Zach from Newport Beach, a local boy. He got the boot at the end. And
guy had a cup of coffee playing baseball at USC. I heard he really sucked. And then he got kicked out, too. But both guys that got kicked out last night, not high-impact losers.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No one.
So I turned to my wife last night and I said, that guy's been on the show? The guy she voted off. I had no idea he was even on the show for the first three episodes.
Well, you guys know how to sell it. Sounds like a great episode.
Magical.
Next week we're going to Munich, guys. I think they're going to give a two. They're going to have a tour of some horrible thing from World War II that, you know, that we'll get... We'll get some kind of Desiree commentary on something that happened horrible in Germany. Maybe they'll go to Dresden and talk about the firebombing.
Maybe Sweet. They'll give the date to a Holocaust survivor next week. It'll be great.
You guys know how to pick it.
But Ben, somebody gets into it with Ben next week. I'm looking forward to the drama.
We got
to
go. I'm sorry.
We all are, Kevin. Okay. We're all looking forward to the drama, aren't we?
Okay. No, I don't really like Ben.
Nobody likes Ben. Petros is the worst.
All right. Petros, thank you. Thanks, P. We love you.
All right. He's got a weasel face.
The best segment that you guys do.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
We'll get to that, Kanye. Sorry. Hey, listen, Larry Flint is back in the news, you guys. You guys remember Larry, right?
Oh. He's Penthouse?
He's a hustler. He is the head of the Hustler Empire. He, of course, usually makes news because he's offering $1 million for some scandal on a politician or Mitt Romney's tax returns or something like that. But he's making news for a little bit of a different reason right now. He did a wide-reaching interview with the Huffington Post Live this week that I watched a lot of. It was fascinating. For one thing, Kevin, he said that he thinks Hustler magazine will cease publication within the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think most magazines are going that way.
Because it's all internet.
All online.
It's all digital. Yeah. Exactly right. But the other thing that was very controversial that he said, he's been politically active for a long time. If you saw him portrayed in that Woody Harrelson movie, The People vs. Larry Flint, you know that he has often been outspoken about his politics. But he said something the other day that has, understandably, I think, riled some people up. Listen up.
I've never met a Republican that wasn't mean-spirited and in his heart a racist. I never met one that wasn't. Now, I'm sure there are probably some that are not. But I'm just telling you what my experience has been and my exposure to conservative Republicans are a nightmare.
Way to sugarcoat it, Larry.
By the way, I can imagine if you're Larry Flint and you're publishing Hustler that you will get the worst of the opposition.
No question. Well, you had a guy shoot you and paralyze you, too, partly for politics. Look, here my whole thing. You could be as dyed-in-the-wool Republican or Democrat as you want, but to make the blanket statement that everyone on the other side is essentially evil is just ridiculous. It just makes you sound stupid. That's my opinion. Well, but let's see what Mr. Flint has to say.
You have Larry on the phone.
Well, that's why I want to
tell him that.
Look, Larry is not afraid of confrontation, and we always welcome him on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he is back right now. Hi, Mr. Flint. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Well, sir. But you're painting with a broad brush that just is laughable.
No, I'm not.
You're not? Well, you are, because
Republicans are mean-spirited racists. And they're a nightmare.
Right. But even in that interview, you said, I'm sure there are some that aren't. Was that just a lie?
I was wrong.
Okay.
I apologize for that. I misspoke.
Okay.
I'm sure there aren't any that are not a nightmare.
I guarantee that there are. That's just a crazy thing, and you're just making the partisanship in this country much worse.
No, it's science.
There's bad on both sides.
No, I think there isn't.
Okay. All right.
There's bad on one side.
Only on one side. Okay.
All right. So all Republicans are bad. Should that be my takeaway from your interview, Larry?
Yeah, absolutely. They're horrible people. And, I've seen a lot of people. In my life and career, I've had a lot of interaction, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much hit the nail on the head with everybody.
So, in other words, you are very easily able to sum up what people are all about.
Absolutely.
Aren't you afraid of, like Bean said, painting with a broad stroke? You're going to miss a lot of exceptions.
No.
Okay. All right.
He's pretty confident. All right.
I'm pretty confident.
Like what?
The Irish.
The Irish?
Irish people are just obsessed with chemical engineering and physics. And I just wish they would just leave those careers to open a little bit for some other people to take
okay,
over.
Where are you getting this information from? I don't know any famous Irish chemists.
I met a guy once from Ireland who was a chemical engineer.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything
no,
about
does,
the rest
pretty
of
much does.
Ireland. Okay, all right.
Women.
Oh, no.
Women are all strippers and porn stars.
Yeah, well, no. That's, standing right here and I don't do that.
Not
well, you
anymore.
Do. Secretly, you do.
I do.
She doesn't anymore.
Someplace. You're on the pulse somewhere.
I can't argue that.
All the women I've met have all been sluts, porn stars, and strippers.
Maybe you have too small of a sample group.
No.
You run Hustler, too. Those are the only women you want to be around are the women in your magazine.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
I've met all these people.
Okay.
All right. Jewish people.
Okay, careful now, Larry.
Are all lawyers, and I think it's unfair for them to monopolize the legal profession. They should let someone else, I think, have it, you know, also have that role.
Our own beer mug here is really the opposite of a lawyer.
No, he is.
He's a lawyer?
Probably a secret lawyer.
A secret lawyer?
Because I have a Jewish lawyer, and so I know that all Jews are lawyers.
Okay, but you understand that's just called anecdotal evidence, right?
That's just science.
It's science.
Meet one person.
Scientific evidence that I've done exhaustive studies.
By meeting one person.
And the one Jewish guy I know is a lawyer.
All right.
Okay. Listen, we got to go, Mr. Flint. I'm sorry.
I have more documents over here on the other side of the room of other races and genders.
We don't need to hear.
Let me just get up and walk over there.
Larry, you can't get up. Larry, they're in the... And he always forgets about the being paralyzed. Number one, aren't you just injured? Why? Why is this happening? What's happening, Larry? Come on.
All handicapped people throw up a lot.
Wish they'd use that song more in the NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs, but I don't
Not
think
Not possible.
They could.
Yeah. Can't do it. It's the only song that's available to play on TV now. Sorry. That is a Fallout Boy here on the world-famous K-Rock. Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Actor Dean Norris is on the phone. He, of course, we last saw on a toilet at the end of Breaking Bad. I don't ever need to see Dean Norris on a toilet. I don't need to see him doing that at Walter White's house. He, of course, is one of the stars of the new Under the Dome, debuting on CBS this Monday night. As we go to him on the phone, Kevin, I'm going to ask that you don't monopolize all the time talking about your days at Harvard just because Mr. Norris went to Harvard, because I know how you guys like to reminisce when you meet other alums. So
it's rare.
Hi, Dean. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good. How you doing, man?
Very good.
It is a pleasure to have you on the show. We're really excited about this Under the Dome. I mean, it doesn't seem like the miniseries is much of a thing anymore, but if anything can bring it back, it looks like this one can.
Yeah, I think so. It's going to be awesome. It's really fun. It's great working with Stephen King. You know, he's put out a few books.
Now, this starts Monday night, and then when is it? Is it a couple of nights in a row, or how does that work?
No, it'll be 13 Mondays in a row. So
13 Mondays
next
in a row?
Monday, yeah, at 10 o'clock on the number one network in the universe, CBS.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I didn't read the book, of course, because reading is for losers. That's the official policy on this program. But it sounds like Stephen King was obviously wrote the book, but has also been very involved with the TV show, which is different from the book, right? Like, you guys kind of jumped off the pages a little bit.
Yeah, it's awesome. Brian K. Vaughan, who was a big writer over there at Lost, pitched his kind of concept to Stephen King. And the great thing, he pitched a new ending to the book, and Stephen King said, "Wow, I wish I thought of that."
Really?
I'd like to be that guy, you know, pitching it.
No kidding. What's it like having Stephen King on set? I saw a bunch of video of him at the table reads, and while you were actually filming, is that just kind of distracting? Not only because he wrote the source material, but because he's kind of a big star, and it seems like having him on set would cause everybody to look.
Yeah, it's kind of distracting because, like, you know, the whole horror thing kind of scares me every time I look at him. I'm like, I'm nervous, you know.
he's a little scary.
No, it's great, man. He's like the nicest guy in the world, and he's really supportive of the show. And he's like really funny. It's like, oh, okay, that guy wrote that. Oh, and he's funny. Okay,
now
it's great.
Your character on Breaking Bad seems to be a pretty moral guy. How are you? How's your character in this different? Who do you play in this?
I play Big Jim Rennie, who's the last thing he is a moral guy.
Okay.
he has none of that issues, and none of the issues that Hank has trying to be a good guy. He's a reptilian. He's a bad guy in a way, but not overtly bad. He thinks he's doing the right thing. He's a dictator, you know, and it just turns out that his kind of methods. Killing people aren't really the nice way to go about that. So,
well, one of the things that I think is interesting, and for folks who don't know, I mean, Under the Dome is the simplest concept in the world to explain. A dome appears out of nowhere and lands on top of this town, and nobody can leave the dome. Nobody can get into the dome. And then what happens to the people inside? It's like they're living in an aquarium or something like that. And stories like this are always fascinating to me, Dean, because it's just like people who are, you know, trapped in a mine or trapped in a bank or wherever they happen to be, is you see what people are really made of when they've got to step up.
Exactly, and that's the kind of the premise of the show, is we get to see, it kind of reveals the character of these people with them when this dome comes down. But interesting, in our show, the dome also becomes more of a character. There's a mythology of the dome they talk about, where we're not sure, you know, it's a sentient being, actually, and you're not sure whether it's a good guy, a bad guy, it's trying to communicate, does it have feelings, all this kind of stuff. So it kind of makes the show, kind of elevates it in that science fiction kind of way. So.
Imagine how quickly you would go stir crazy if you're in this little town and you all of a sudden cannot drive out. I mean, I just think, I think mental madness would overtake the citizens.
and it does, actually. That's part of the show.
That's it.
And my character, oddly enough, it seems like the only guy that is glad the dome came down, because he can now be the leader or the dictator he always wanted to be.
You're hoping the dome never goes up.
I love the dome, baby.
Dean Norris on the phone. We're talking about Under the Dome. It's the new miniseries on CBS, debuting this Monday night. And, of course, in August, you come back in Breaking Bad for the final 8 episodes. So now you're done. That's all film. You put that behind you. How weird is it to have that chapter of your acting life behind you now, Dean?
It's I still haven't wrapped my head around it. You know, it's really bittersweet. It was such a great, you know, show to be a part of, such great guys to work with. And now that it's over, I'm really kind of sad about it. But I'll tell you this much, the last 8 are the best 8 of the whole series.
That's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, only because the rest of the series has been so unbelievable.
I know. And they do not disappoint. You know, we knew it was coming to an end. And it's phenomenal. I'm on the toilet for like the first 4 episodes. So.
That's what I was afraid
of. Come
on
now.
Family's proud.
When they were shooting Under the Dome, I hope you said to them, please, no toilet seats.
No, you can't.
On national television, I said the family's proud of you.
Sure. Well, congratulations on all those great seasons as Hank on Breaking Bad. We can't wait for it to come back in August, and we're really excited about Under the Dome this Monday night on CBS. Dean, except for your potty mouth, we enjoyed talking to you, man.
Thank you, guys.
By the way, about this time tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, the beautiful Tatiana Maslany is going to be joining us in studio. Ralph, you watching Orphan Black? How incredible is she as an actress?
And it's a brilliant concept and a brilliant performance by her, because she's playing like 1,400 different people.
I didn't know anything about this Orphan Black until you guys voted on her to be on the show, and now I went back and watched it. It's amazing.
Oh, is it? Oh,
it's great.
Oh, look at you.
Now you can't watch it. How about that? Now you're not allowed to watch it anymore.
I can watch whatever I want.
No, you can't.
First of all.
No.
That is tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, Monday, Trent Reznor joins us in studio. So some good stuff coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday at 7:55.
Yeah, I got sucked into The Orphan Black because it follows Doctor Who over there on the BBC America. So that's how I first discovered it. And it's just an outstanding performance. A lot of clones going on. A lot of cloning.
Like 8 episodes, I think, I want to say.
It's good stuff. It is Tuesday. Or Tuesday, as an old friend of ours used to say. That means it's new release day. New DVDs and CDs and TV on DVD. All that available today if you want to check it out. Here's what's new in terms of entertainment. Yeezus by Kanye West. His new CD drops today.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
First his daughter dropped, and now his CD drops.
That's true.
Been a lot dropping this week. Ice on the Dune by Empire of the Sun. Sounds like a book from the Game of Thrones author. Born Sinner by J. Cole. Watching the Movies with the Sound Off by Mac Miller. Mac Miller, by the way, also getting in on the controversy in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Is that right?
Yeah. About not wearing your pants too low. Remember I told you yesterday they passed a city ordinance and you can't wear your pants sagging down around your ass? Because they don't want you there. They don't want you doing that there. And he said that he'll go there and sag all he wants. He's sag. He's a whole sag. You don't care. He sags.
That's how he rolls.
Anthem by Hanson. Hanson has a new CD, believe it or not. But the most exciting CD by far that's being released today is the new Rick Moranis CD. Moranis.
What?
Rick Moranis. Remember a while ago we said, what the hell happened to Rick Moranis?
Yes. Is he singing?
Yes.
What?
He's back with a new album called My Mother's Brisket and Other Love Songs.
He's 3 or 4 albums in, isn't he, Ralph?
What?
Yeah.
I have a clip if you want to hear it.
I'd love to hear some Rick Moranis. Not what I would expect from Rick
Moranis. A little harder
than
you would think, right? And that's not much of a love song, but...
No. And the soundtrack from Man of Steel also available today. If you want to pick that up on DVDs, you can check out Jack the Giant Slayer. That didn't do so well in theaters.
No, it didn't.
Movie 43, that wacky movie with all those people in it.
Sure had a lot
with
of stars.
All those sketches and stuff in it. 21 and Over. That is a movie about...
Which one is that? 21
coming
and Over.
21?
Or Over. Come on, Lisa, you remember every movie. What's that one about?
I don't remember.
I don't either. Quartet with Maggie Smith, Michael Gambon, and Billy Connolly. That was directed by somebody famous.
You're full of information.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, that's right. I just couldn't... Just escaped me for a moment.
Welcome to my life.
And Stoker, starring Nicole Kidman and Matthew Good, is also available today. So not a lot of great movies available today you can check out. But what are you going to do? Lil Wayne is in trouble. You may have seen this footage. He was shooting a video for his song God Bless America with a K in New Orleans.
Right.
And there's footage of him walking on the flag, jumping up and down on Old Glory. Our national symbol.
No.
That is not okay. And people are very upset about it. But he tweeted his response today, so now we know what happened. I didn't step on the flag on purpose, he tweeted. It's a scene in the video where the flag drops behind me, and after a drop, it's just kind of there as I perform. See, so he just accidentally stepped on it. So ignore the video footage of him looking down at the flag and walking on it and stomping on it. Pay no attention to what your eyes are telling you. Believe this BS from Lil Wayne.
I find that offensive.
Can we hear some of the Lil Wayne song?
Oh, I'd love to hear some.
Yeah.
Sounds like Rick Moranis.
It's a real departure.
It's a copycat right there. And Amanda Bynes continues to be a threat to herself and others. Atlantic City, New Jersey is the location of this particular incident. She was at a hotel casino. No one knows why. No one knows why she goes anywhere anymore. She's in Buffalo, New York one day. She's in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
She's not working, that's for sure.
I saw her at slot machines wearing a dress that saw the tags hanging off of it.
Sweet.
I'm guessing she stole it. I'm just guessing. That's why the tags are still on. She just walked out of the
tags off
the store with it. Holding a dog. No one knows where the dog came from, whose dog it is.
Stole it.
And some guy took a photo of her in the hotel casino where she was staying. And she flipped out, saying, "Sir, you cannot take a picture of me. I need to see that picture." She needs to vet all the pictures that are ever taken of her by fans. She will delete it from your photo, from your camera, or...
She's an idiot.
Phone,
if
she doesn't like the picture.
She's an idiot because now everyone will take a picture of her just to see her flip out.
So this guy, Brent Cohen, a 56-year-old father, took a shot of her as she was walking through the lobby, and she started to chase him around the casino in order to get his phone so she could take a look at the photo and decide whether to delete it or not off his phone. And he's like, "No, we're not taking this." So he started to run. She ran after him. Security had to get involved and physically keep her from pursuing this man in the hotel casino. He was being stalked by Amanda Bynes.
I love it. I love it.
We live in interesting times, my friends. Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Madden. He was Robb Stark in Game of Thrones, 27 years old today. I heard not good things happened to his character. I'm not familiar exactly what happened.
That's true. Most characters.
David Gentoli. From Grimm, star of that show, is 33 years old. Stephen Chen, guitarist for Airborne Toxic Event, is 35. Blake Shelton from The Voice and his own country music career is 37. Isabella Rossellini, a beautiful, talented actress, a daughter, of course, of the legendary actress who is in that movie.
Now, I know this one, but I've been instructed not to jump in.
She was in Casablanca. She's a legendary, a Swedish, beautiful actress. Ingrid Bergman is her name.
That's the difference, Dean, is that I will never come up with it. Ralph will.
61 years old today. And musician Paul McCartney celebrates his 71st birthday today. You know, we don't have time for it. All right, never mind. I was going to play that song, that birthday song that he wrote that's famous.
That's what we
But have. I don't have time to play.
Yeah, okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You forged your resume and faked your way into a job. Happened on Mad Men this past Sunday night. We want to talk to you about your stories coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show for a Tuesday. First, though, America's Got Talent, Kevin, is in its 8th season, believe it or not, on NBC. It is on tonight at 8 o'clock at a special time. Usually you see it at 9. It's on ahead of The Voice tonight. Howie Mandel, of course, is one of the judges that no one else seems to want to work with. Howie, why is it that all the other judges quit, yet you remain? What's up with that?
I think it's something I might have said, or maybe the fact that they realized that I actually forged my resume and I have no right in being there.
Ah, see, there it is.
Could be.
It is phenomenal, this show, America's Got Talent, because when the show first came on the air, I thought, well, America really doesn't have talent because those people would already have careers if they had talent. But you have proven me wrong with this show, with how many people are out there who...
That was the whole intent. It's not to entertain. It's not. It's just to prove you wrong.
Mission accomplished.
For the show existing.
It is astonishing to me, 8 seasons in, the acts that you are still getting to show up to be on this program, and the crazy things that people are able to do that I just can't get my head around. I mean, you must just be amazed every day when you go to work at what you see.
And just when you thought you saw everything, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm amazed each and every day and each and every show by what's coming up next. And like you said, the crazy things people do, how far they'll push the envelope, just to even risk your life just for, you know, a chance at fame. But it just goes to show you, you know, I think Woody Allen said it best, you know, 99% of, you know, success is just showing up. And it shows there's a lot of amazing things out there and amazing ideas. People just don't show up, and we have given you the one place to show up, and that's America's Got Talent.
But, Howie, there's also a lot of crap.
Yes.
Okay,
but
all right.
You know what? I take joy in that, too. I love that almost as much as the greatness. I love the idea that, and I hate it when somebody is doing something crappy, and they know they're doing something crappy, and they're just trying to, you know, waste our time.
Right, right.
But when something is, like, insane and crappy, but the person is totally, you know, consumed with the fact that this is brilliant and wait till the world sees that, I don't know. There's something fascinatingly entertaining about that for me.
That's my favorite, too. We have guests on this show. The Armenian comedian comes to mind who really thinks he's the funniest guy in the world, and he's the opposite of that. But the confidence is what sells it and makes you love it.
And it truly, and they truly believe it, and I love that. And I really, truly believe that there's a place on our show, on your show, in the, you know, the landscape of entertainment for these people more than somebody who can pick up an acoustic guitar and carry a tune and sing a song that you could see around any campfire or on any cruise. You know, I grew up watching, you know, Tiny Tim. Was Tiny Tim really a good singer?
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, but he had the highest ratings on The Tonight Show when he got married. I think in America, you know, we'd be fascinated and it's interesting and it holds our attention if you're a great character.
The worst thing you can do is be average. You either be great or horrible.
Right. And just own it. Just own it. Believe it. And do it. And this is a point of contention on our show. You know, Howard, on the other hand, and we have this argument all the time, and I love Howard and I respect Howard. He argues with me. He'll go, that was terrible. I go, yeah, but that was great because it was terrible.
Howard doesn't have the it was so horrible, it was great category?
No, he doesn't like that.
He doesn't like that.
Huh. Yet, I think he uses it on his show. No,
all the time.
He wants, yes.
Yeah, I got you.
This is the voice of Howie Mandel here on the Kevin and Bean Show, who we don't care for, but we wanted to have him on because he thinks he's so entertaining. See, that's what we're doing here. As we just described, he's so bad that we find him good.
But tell me about it. I own it. That's the important thing.
It does seem like a perfect job for a guy like you, Howie, because you seem to be, and I love watching you on the show, because you are genuinely entertained and you seem to be genuinely invested and rooting for these people. It's not coming from, you know, so many of these shows, Simon Cowell comes to mind, are coming from a mean-spirited place, which is they show up because they want to crush someone's dreams and tell them they suck. And you're the opposite of that.
No. I'm the last one to press the button, you know, to press the X. I actually, first of all, like you said, it seems like a good job for me. I cannot believe this is a job. And you guys will go, we've been in the business, all of us, for a long time. And you get into this business because you want to entertain, because you hopefully, you know, want to attract an audience and you want people to love you. And you know that as hard as you try, there's people out there who listen to you, who critique you, who are who watch you, who sit on the couch at home and go, why are you watching this guy, who hate you?
Of course.
Whoever dreamed that that person on the couch, that thing that we all do when we're not doing what it is we do, would become the job. You know, everything that I ever did on the couch in my underpants is what I'm getting paid to do.
Not,
to show up and put past
the not everything.
Not everything.
I hope.
No, you have no idea. There's a desk there. You don't know. but the thing is, the thing about it is, that's what I do. You know, 24/7, I watch TV. I watch infomercials. When I'm playing Vegas or I do concerts as a stand-up, I go to little crappy clubs, and I just want to watch people entertain. I will watch non-English channels and try to figure out what they're doing. And
you have too much time.
Such joy and empathy for anybody that has the wherewithal, the gumption to get up in front of people and possibly, you know, publicly humiliate themselves, because that's what I do each and every day. That's what my job is. I love it. I enjoy it. I love that energy. And nothing more nothing makes me happier more than to watch this work. You know, anybody, people talk about going to comedy clubs on amateur nights and seeing the worst comic in the world. That guy isn't there, a woman isn't there on their own. They're there because they sat at the dinner table Thanksgiving and Uncle Nate said, you know, you're funny, you should do comedy. And they think they're so funny. You just got to be lucky that whatever it is that you do catches on to more people than are sitting around that Thanksgiving table. And
right.
Sometimes lightning will strike and it works. And to watch that moment, to watch those people's lives change in front of your eyes, to watch a dream come true, to watch, you know, a 180-degree turn in somebody's life, there's nothing more exciting. I feel like the luckiest person in the world to be there.
Well, and I got to tell you, just one more PS on America's Got Talent. This is the show, Kevin, that you remember in season two had a ventriloquist step up on stage who is still, years later, making $1 million a year with his own act in Las Vegas, Terry
Fader.
He's got
a $100 million contract, Terry Fader.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I hate ventriloquism. There was a girl on last week that I thought was adorable, who was able to sing with puppets, and I liked it. I don't like ventriloquists. I don't like mimes.
I didn't know that guy was from America's Got Talent. I was at the Mirage, and I saw a bunch of posters for him. And I was like, who's this guy?
That's where he came from.
America's Got Talent.
It's amazing. All right. And by the way, Heidi Klum, pretty good reason to tune in as well. May I mention Howie? She's unbelievable, isn't she?
It's hard
oh, my
for
God.
Me to face the stage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, she is hot. And Mel B ain't so bad herself.
No, it's pretty good. It does kind of deflect from having to look at you and Stern, I'll tell you that.
And Howard's pretty hot.
We are out of time. America's Got Talent, again, a special time tonight. It's a Tuesday. You usually see it at 9. Tonight, you see it at 8, and then followed by our friend Carson Daly on The Voice. Howie Mandel, we love you, man. It's always great
and
to have you on the Kevin Devine Show.
That Howie Mandel during the show.
Fantastic. Not interested in that at all, but thanks for the call, dude.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Devine Show at 29 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Jeff Siegler from Corona, latest Epicenter winner. Fifth annual Epicenter is coming up on Saturday, September 21st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. A great lineup, Pierce the Veil, A Day to Remember, Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and more. You can get all the details and get your tickets exclusively in the presale through krock.com. All right, spoiler alert, kids. If you're watching Mad Men and you have not yet seen this Sunday night's episode, this past Sunday night's episode, then please tune out for about 2 minutes, okay? Because we're going to set up this phone topic based on something that happened on that
Four
show.
4 minutes, because then Omar's going to tell a story.
Well, everybody else's story is going to be fine. That won't spoil it.
Oh, I see.
All right, so we assume they're gone. There's a character on the show, guys, named Bob Benson. And one of the mysteries of this season has been, who is this guy? All of a sudden, he pops up out of nowhere, and he's trying to be friends with everybody. But he seems sketchy. Like, what's his backstory? So somebody else who works at the firm, a guy named Pete Campbell, really doesn't like Bob Benson. So he's trying to get him hired away. So he sent Bob Benson's resume over to a headhunter trying to find Bob Benson another job so he can get him out of the firm. Okay? You got all that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's what came back about Bob Benson's resume.
I'm going to need more than this kid Bob Benson's personnel record. It might as well be written in steam.
What do you mean?
I don't even know if the name is real. I don't know where he went to college, but it wasn't Beloit. I tried a buddy at Wharton. He said maybe he's just telling people Wharton, so he's going to check the whole University of Pennsylvania. But it's tough when I don't know if he's really 28 years old. The most interesting is the Brown Brothers Harriman job. You told me that.
I got that from him.
Well, I have a friend there. Turns out they all remember Bobby. He's from West Virginia. Parents are brother and sister or something. He was a manservant for 3 years to a senior vice president.
So what does that mean?
Mostly, that his only job opportunity was someplace dumb enough not to ask any questions, and so far, that's just you guys.
Boom! So he walks in with no experience in advertising at all. He made up everything about his education, his references. None of it was true, yet he managed to blend in and start doing the job, kind of learn on the job a little bit. And now he's somebody who actually, you know, they give him some responsibility in the firm.
So we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you lied your way into a gig. Omar, who does production for us,
yep,
and is maybe the best in the world.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Didn't start that way.
Nope.
And he was telling us yesterday, if you could summarize that story for us.
Yeah, basically, I was going to college. I was able to score a paid internship here, working here for about a year. And one morning, B needed help with some machines downstairs. And I had noticed a guy who was in the studio with you guys. So as I was walking downstairs with Bean, I asked him about the guy, and he was telling me that he was auditioning for a board op position that was becoming available.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that's interesting. And Bean says, do you know how to run a board? At that point, I was sick of answering phones, so I was looking to move anywhere else.
Did you have any idea how to run the board?
Meaning
pushing all the buttons and controlling all the commercials
and
songs? I had
no idea what anything did.
Okay.
Okay, so I says to Bean, absolutely I know how to run a board. No worries. So Bean was like, okay, cool, you know, get with Jimmy Jam, James, and Lightning and set up an audition for next week. So I'm like, crap. Are you kidding me? You know, so all weekend long, I spent in the studio with, I think it was with Richard Blade and Tammy Heidi, trying to learn the board. And I come in Monday, I'm still clueless. I had no idea what I was doing.
Complex with the morning show because there's so many more people and phone calls.
Exactly. And other studios getting routed in here.
Right.
So I auditioned for the first week. I did terrible. I just did the worst. But I think I had the sensibility of the Kevin and Bean show. And I learned pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, and Kevin kind of knew that I was going to be okay, I guess, at the time. And I got the gig.
And how many years ago was that, Omar?
I was 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah.
So 10 years you've been working at a place that you essentially lied your way into your first job.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're looking for, by the way.
Yep. 1-800-520-1067. You got a job and you lied your ass off to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to you right.
Talking about faking that resume, lying your way into a job here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Let's get to some calls here. Let's start with, how about David? David is on line 3 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys.
Hello, if that's really your name.
Yeah, that is my name. Trust me.
All right.
All right, what happened?
Okay, so I was walking out. I needed a job. Okay, I was out of a job for a little while, and I was on the verge of losing my apartment and my car and everything. And I happen to see this place, these guys standing outside. So I walk over there and I ask them what's going on. They said they're pipe fitters, okay? And I was like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that, which is total BS. I had no idea what the hell a pipe fitter was. I mean, so anyhow, the next day I go, they give me a uniform and everything. So I go and everything, and they tell me, okay, this job, little four-hour job, you're going to lay down, you're going to read blueprints. Okay, right from there, from the gate, from jump start, I don't know how to read a blueprint.
Sweet.
I have no idea, to read a blueprint. I have no idea what I was doing. On my resume, I had my uncle help me.
How long did you work there?
A total of six and a half hours.
That's the way to cut to the chase on that story. So eventually, depending on what kind of job it is, you might get found out if you lie enough to get the job.
Correct.
That's what we've learned here. All right. Thank you very much for the call. And thanks for the merciful ending to the call, too, Kevin.
I tried to speed it up.
Let's try Alicia. She's on line 2 up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You faked your way into a job. Alicia, what'd you do?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Good.
I was working at a place that sold car parts, and I found out about an office job, which sounded a lot better, you know, air conditioning inside.
Sure.
No office experience whatsoever, but my grandma happened to work for the facility, so she was able to help me fix my resume up with enough lies stuffed in there that I got the job.
Your grandma helped you lie.
Yeah, my grandma helped me lie.
I love your grandma.
Yeah, turns out, though, the facility had a contract with the county, so I had to lie to county officials, which is really interesting, but they're all kind of in the business of lying, so I kind of fit right in.
How long did you work there?
Actually, I worked there for a year until now I work for a hospital.
There you go. Did you lie to get in the hospital?
Not as much. But what was funny is...
No, I'm a nurse, honest.
Not as much. All right, I'm sorry. We have to go. But thank you, Alicia, for the call.
From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Clay writes in, I told a company I spoke Spanish once to get a job. Now that, you're just setting yourself up for trouble, right?
Yeah, there's, you
no
really
way
are.
To, there's no way to fake that. After I got hired, they asked me to translate a business deal for them. Apparently Rosetta Stone doesn't work overnight. Yes, I was fired, so it didn't work out. All right, let's go to Sarah. I was hoping somebody would call in who faked, like the character on Mad Men that we talked about, who faked a college degree. Sarah, that's you?
Yes, it is.
How did you, what job and what did you tell them?
It was just an admin job, but it was for a huge company that may or may not have needed a giant bailout back in 2008.
Okay, hard to figure that out. Go ahead.
All right.
So it was just admin, but you needed a college degree, and I had the experience, but unfortunately not the degree. So
what school did you, quote-unquote, go to?
Cal State LA, because I had a friend who went there, and we were able to borrow his degree. This is a terrible story, but it's so funny. So I had filled out all the necessary paperwork. I went on every interview possible, and they were ready to hire me. And they asked, they called the college, and the college said I never went there. So the recruiter called me back and said, well, everything's in place, but we're having a problem verifying that you ever went to Cal State LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my gosh, because I was afraid this would catch up with me. You hope that they don't verify. But so I said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. This isn't the first time that's happened. And I said, I have a degree. I can show it to you. So we had borrowed my friend's degree from Cal State LA.
And you mean diploma, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, diploma. Photoshopped it.
Sweet.
And we actually had to buy a font that matched.
This is awesome.
The existing fonts did not work, so you had to buy extra ones. Okay.
We had to buy a special font, and my husband's really good with Photoshop. And he changed the name around, and I faxed it in, and it worked.
Sweet.
You broke so many laws that day.
I did.
So you got the job, and how long did you work there, and were you ever found out?
4 years, no, and no, I got let go a couple years ago, but no, I was never found out.
All right. How about that? That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Jennifer writes in, by the way. She runs a staffing firm in Los Angeles, and she said she had this exact situation come up this week. She had somebody, of course, she's hiring lots of different people for lots of different businesses. She had somebody apply for two different jobs that she was advertising with two completely different resumes sent into the same firm. So she called. She says, I called, told him his resume was a lie. He went crazy on me. We then blacklisted him, and we warned our clients. Sure enough, one of our clients had an interview set up with him and canceled because we called him out. So be careful who you lie to. I guess that makes sense. Don't send two different resumes to the same person when you're looking for work.
Right? All right, real quick, let's go to Raphael, because this is one where you could get found out pretty quickly. Hi, Raphael.
Hi, good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
All right, take it easy. What job did you get, and what lie did you tell?
Well, I graduated, needed a job, lied that I had trucking experience, have never driven a bobtail in my life, and right now I have had the job still 8 months, but I'm currently lost.
You're lost?
Yeah, actually, I'm lost, as in, I'm in Alhambra, I need to be in Temple City.
Oh, so you mean right? You mean literally right now you're driving around lost when you're supposed to have known how to do this?
Bingo, my friend.
All right.
And you're also drunk while you're driving, which I think is a bigger problem. Raphael, pull over and sleep it off, my friend.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
All right, Kanye, it's fine. Hungry. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Boy, is he hungry.
He really needs to eat.
Well, not shut up about those baked goods.
Hey, I want to give you a heads up, Jack Johnson fans. He's going to be performing here in Los Angeles October the 19th at the Orpheum Theater. What a nice, intimate place to see Jack Johnson.
That's the perfect place.
It really is. Well, the perfect place is on a beach in Hawaii.
Okay,
kind of
yes.
Thing.
All right.
With a Mai Tai in one hand and just a handful of poi in the other. You know what I'm saying? You just lick that poi out of your hand, take a swig of the Mai Tai.
No women involved?
With your bubbly toes in the sand. But other than that, yeah, the Orpheum. Good place to see Jack Johnson. October 19th is the date. I wanted to give people a heads up because I know we have a lot of Jack Johnson fans in the audience. Here's how it works, though. In order to get your tickets, you have to enter a lottery because it's such a small venue. Starting today, it kicked off this morning at 7 a.m. If you go to jackjohnsonmusic.com, you enter the lottery. Then that lottery will close on Monday, June the 24th. And starting on June 26th, they will start letting the people who won the lottery know. You'll get an email with a user code and about how to information how to you're able to buy your tickets at that point via Ticketmaster. So if you want to see Jack Johnson at the Orpheum, you have to enter this lottery. Starts this morning. Go to jackjohnsonmusic.com. Enter the lottery for your chance to purchase tickets to the show. Oh, wait a minute. How about if I give you a pair of tickets right now?
Yay!
Then they still have to enter the lottery?
What does that make me? Some sort of god? Yes!
Yay!
I don't think so.
I'm giving away tickets that you can't even get yet.
All right. That makes you a god.
That's what
I'm impressed.
How about caller, let's see, make it interesting. Since it's October the 19th, caller 19. Caller 19 will get a pair of tickets before anybody else to see Jack Johnson at the Orpheum.
But you have to identify this Jack Johnson song.
Jeez, Kevin, you could pick something other than Bubbly Toes, couldn't you? That's such a, I mean, it's pretty much his biggest
hit. It's easy, I know.
It's kind of slam dunk. Yeah. Call now. Caller number 19 wins those tickets to see.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
We'll get right back to you. Leave a message with our receptionist and then we're going to look over your resume and we'll get back to you.
I often wonder why those words came out of my mouth.
If we're hiring, we'll let you know.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
I do, actually. I want to talk about the Battle Royal happening on the set of Anger Management. Charlie Sheen's sitcom. Apparently a big hubbub over there. Co-star Selma Blair, who I love. Adorable. Did you ever see those Hellboy movies?
Oh, yeah.
So cute in those films.
Yep.
Fired. Fired after she reportedly complained to upper management that Chuck was, well, hard to get along with, I guess you could say. Or in her words, a menace to work with.
A menace.
Menace.
He can do that because he's a producer on the show, right? So he can hire and fire.
That's right. Apparently he caught wind of the conversation, said she was completely out of line and has given her the boot. He would like Mila Kunis to step in and take over her role.
Wouldn't we all?
I think yes. I would like Mila Kunis to step into my life and take over someone's role. But he's willing to pay her $1 million per episode if she does 10 episodes. That's the rumor.
Can you imagine how good our attitude would be if Mila Kunis were doing traffic on the show?
Oh, sweet heaven.
Would we be so excited to come to work every morning?
We would.
Not me. I would be more excited if Lisa were still here.
To be honest, I would also be
See?
Excited.
That's what we're saying. Everybody loves her.
Okay, then I would too.
I know it's just the beginning of summertime, but they're already talking about the muscular dystrophy telethon, the Labor Day telethon they do every year. Used to be called the Jerry Lewis Labor Day telethon.
Right.
And then suddenly no one over there at the MDA knows who that guy was anymore. What, Jerry? No, I'm not familiar with that man's work.
I think we donated enough that one time.
We did. We gave a big donation to the Muscular Dystrophy Association at one time.
We're off the hook for life.
A big, big check. Bet he's sorry he asked for that now. Should ask for something else. It's still around, Bean. Yeah, it was syndicated. But now the story is it's just been picked up by ABC.
What? Now that he's dead, they're going to put it on a real network?
Not dead.
Now that he's gone, we're going to put it on the major network.
But wait, hold on a second.
Why don't you hold on a second?
Why don't you turn your head down? Listen, didn't the show, it was 20 hours or whatever it was, and then they cut it down to 6 and then 3, and wasn't last year like 45 minutes on some country music channel or something? I mean, they really had pared it down, right?
It was syndicated to, I don't know, a couple hours, yeah. But now it's scheduled for Sunday, September the 1st, from 9 to 11 p.m., so it'll be 2 hours, which is an hour shorter than last year's. It'll be called the MDA Show of Strength Telethon.
All right.
And it's going to be on ABC at 9 to 11, so you can still give money, still a worthy charity, to help these kids, help them find a cure for this insidious disease, muscular dystrophy, and there's various forms of them, all these diseases that attack the muscular system. But just, it's a horrible disease. It's still a worthy cause, so you can donate this year. Only it's going to make ABC a major network.
But maybe it's syndicated.
It's a major network, Kevin.
Maybe they'll get better stars, though, because they went prime time on a network, because it has been pretty low rent in recent years.
Maybe they can get Darius Rucker.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
It could be so lucky.
That's all part of the good America that I believe in.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
That's the wonderful part, yes. Because as much as we are brought up, certainly in different cultures all over the world.
Why did they let him go? He's
you
so
come
good.
Right down to it, it bottoms out at human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And if the human condition is right, it serves right. you, the human.
Sure.
And it serves us out there
the other
who
humans.
Should be on the periphery.
This is the right? whole 45 minutes. They just cut it.
Turns out it's the exact same amount of content in the show for 2 hours yeah. now that Jerry Lewis is out of it. He was the other 20 hours.
I'm saying we did our part for life. That's my point.
I'm saying.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
Never forget how I learned to do that impression. I was watching Martin Short talk about it. It was the first guy I ever saw do him, and I thought it was hilarious. He still does a great Jerry Lewis. But he said, the key to doing Jerry Lewis is you have to talk as if you have a lozenge in your mouth.
But it's true. When you hear Jerry talk, it sounds like he's sucking on a Sucrete or a butterscotch lifesaver or something. But it's always like there's something going on in the back of the tongue.
Amanda Bynes.
Yes.
Guilty. Guilty.
She may be. She's in Atlantic City, New Jersey, as if that poor state hasn't gone through enough. She is at a hotel casino there. There was a guy in the lobby who dared to take her picture. Now, Amanda has a standing rule that if you take her photograph, she has to be able to look at it and then scroll through your other photos. And then
make sure that she likes all
right,
of them.
All of them. And then she finds one of her, and then she decides whether she'll let you keep it or not, whether it's a worthy picture of her or not. Which I'm thinking, that's a hell of a price to pay for taking a picture of Amanda Bynes.
I agree.
I don't want to spend that much time with Amanda Bynes. I don't want her over my shoulder. I don't want her touching my phone. I don't want her saying things. I just want to take my picture and move on.
Are you kidding? You wouldn't want to be chased around a casino by Amanda Bynes?
Well, that's what happened to this
guy. I would love that.
He took the picture and just started to walk away, and she insisted she wanted to see his phone because she wanted to delete the photo if she didn't like it. He got scared, as all of us would, started to run away. She chased after him, and hotel security had to be brought in to break them up because she was relentless. She would not leave the man alone, started chasing him all over the hotel casino. Just booking down in between slot machines, and you look behind you, and there's crazy Amanda Bynes, her giant blonde wig
That's
flopping.
Awesome.
Giant glass, and your pierced cheeks just puffed out as she just huffs and puffs
See,
after
if it were
you.
Me, I would run backwards and take pictures as I went.
See, that'd be great. I'm taking more pictures. I'm taking. Oh, I have another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, there's another one. You're not like. Oh, you're not like that one. Oh, you're looking so. Oh, look at that. Oh, you look fat in that one. Oh, look at your eyes. Oh, you're looking nose.
Where'd your hair go?
Her head just explodes.
Somebody needs to be doing a documentary on Amanda Bynes' life right now. Somebody needs to be following her around with a camera.
I feel like I am. I feel like I'm doing a documentary on her. I talk about her every day. Speaking of Amanda Bynes, we will be talking about her once again at Hollywood Babylon. It is back after a little two-week respite. Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show once again at the Improv.
Saturday!
The Improv on Melrose, Friday at 10 p.m. Friday at 10 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon, a drunken, stoned look at the week's show business news. We'd love to have you come out and spend Friday night with us, 10 p.m. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
The hour is coming.
The hour is coming. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Madden. Remember him as Robb Stark on Game of Thrones, 27 years old today. David Giantoli from Grimm is 33. Stephen Chen of Airborne Toxic Event is 35. Blake Shelton, voice coach and country singer, is 37 years old today. Actress Isabella Rossellini. It's hard to not sound Italian when you say her name.
That's true.
Isabella Rossellini is 61. And the legendary Beatle Wing, and of course a very successful solo career, Sir Paul McCartney. 71 years old today. Is that all we can afford?
So, yeah.
We have to pay. Some sort of residual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jeff Siegler from Corona, latest winner for tickets of the 5th annual Epicenter. Of course, the tickets are not even on sale yet to the public. That'll happen on Friday. You can get all the details at Kerrek.com to buy them if you want to see the show September 21st at Verizon with The Offspring, Bad Religion, Pennywise, and more. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now on a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
She's real fine, Amanda Bynes. She's real fine, Amanda. We got to get her Amanda Bynes
theme
song.
The best.
We got daily news about Amanda. We got
we do.
A little stab, a little jingle, a little something.
Omar,
little production
get on
value.
It.
Come on. Bynes is on the loose in New Jersey.
Are they going to trank her?
Authorities have spotted her.
Can we put her in a tree and put a camera on her?
Roaming throughout the halls of a hotel casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Got a blow dart?
As if Sandy didn't do enough damage. Now they have to deal with Amanda. Hurricane Amanda has hit shore in Jersey. She was spotted in the hotel jacuzzi, engaging no one in conversation, just constantly tweeting on her phone. People were in the jacuzzi with her. They said, can we take some pictures? She said, yes, okay. And then they took a picture. Then she would snatch the camera or phone out of their hands to check to see if she liked the picture before she would let them keep it, or otherwise she would delete it. Then she was seen at the slot machines in a dress that still had the sales tags hanging off of it.
All right.
Wonder if it still had that little electronic dealie that goes off if you walk out of the store with it. Holding a dog. No one knows whose dog it is. We haven't seen her with a dog up to this point. Maybe it's hers. Maybe it's someone else's. Then a guy dared to take her picture in the lobby of the hotel, and she did not give him permission to keep same said picture.
So she doesn't have to.
She was insisting, sir, you cannot take a picture of me. I need to see that picture before I have to decide whether it's okay or not. And the guy naturally ran for his life, and she chased after him so relentlessly that security at the hotel had to physically restrain her from following the man any longer.
Love it.
Then she disappeared like a cloud. She has not yet been seen again. She is magic. They should offer her one of those sit-down engagements where she just plays that hotel casino for the remainder of the time. But she doesn't ever appear on a stage. She just runs around chasing people.
Runs
around the hotel accosting customers. It'd be like one of those real-life murder mystery things you go to where you, it's as if you're in the show yourself. Suddenly Amanda Bynes shows up and you're playing blackjack and she starts to, you know, stick a cocktail straw in your ear or something. You don't know what's going to happen. It's always entertaining.
I know I've asked this before, Ralph, but how is she supporting herself? Where's the money coming from for her to not be able to work?
Don't know. Maybe she saved it. She was on Disney for a long time.
I believe she's being crowdfunded, crowdsourced. She's got a Kickstarter
campaign.
She's
a Kickstarter?
Just keep me out there.
Help me be crazy.
That's right.
I'd donate.
I would, too. I'm guessing Kevin's right. I think it must be long time residuals
Nickelodeon money or whatever,
years and years of Nickelodeon. Plus, she's done a handful of feature films as well, like Easy A and Cody Banks and other films that she must have made a moment of party on. So I guess she did pretty well for herself. Speaking of Kickstarter, Bean, you have some news about Kickstarter you just sent me?
I could not be more excited. It did not look like it was going to happen, but some sort of angel stepped in at the last minute to get it over the hump. The Finders Keepers documentary. This is the movie that we had on one of the filmmakers on a couple of weeks ago about the guy who bought a grill and there was a human leg inside the grill.
Yep. Yes.
And then the lawsuit that resulted from the guy who wanted his leg back because he had lost his leg and the other dude who bought it and said, I bought it, it's mine. Well, they're making that documentary. It is going to be happening. And it will be called
that? All right.
Finders Keepers. It looks like it's going forward.
Yeah. The guy took the severed leg and the barbecue smoker and put it on display and charged people admission to come see the guy's leg inside the barbecue smoker.
It's a crazy story.
That passed for entertainment somewhere.
And here's the beauty of a Kickstarter, Kevin, and I know you think it's stupid.
I don't.
Absurd. I didn't say it was stupid.
Absurd, dumb.
I'll call stuff stupid if I want to.
And
people stepped up with $80,000 to get this movie made.
Bitchin'. I'm in. I'm glad. Can't wait to see it.
I thought just the other day Bean said it wasn't going to happen, by the way, too.
Well, it wasn't looking very good. I mean, they were several thousand dollars short. But again, at the last minute, right before the deadline, somebody stepped in and made it happen. So I'm grateful to them.
As we all are, because we all want to see the Foot movie.
Come on, you want to see that, right, Ralph?
How are they not called Footloose? The title of the documentary.
I think someone might have sued him for that title.
Oh, I see. This is sad news for Rage Against the Machine fans. Drummer Brad Wilk got some bad news last week. Just 3 days after separating with his wife, Celine, she filed divorce papers.
That's a pretty serious split.
That's a real separation.
Yeah.
She wants primary physical custody of their two young children. Because Brad, of course, is a rock star who travels a lot, but she's also asking for spousal support. And she wants joint legal custody of the two kids. So that's a tough time for anybody to go through.
That's a shame.
Brad's a good guy, and I'm sorry to hear he's going through this. I didn't know this, but he's doing double duty because he is Black Sabbath's drummer as well.
Correct.
As they hit the road
next
month for their summer tour. So he will be out and about a lot. So
he made that record with them that you reported earlier this week. He's number one on the British charts right now.
Number
he's
one in the
drumming
UK.
On that, too.
And now we understand the connection Bean has with the country of Norway. Because there is an interesting Wall Street Journal article about reality television in Norway. Norwegian reality television and how it's a little different than ours. Here are the descriptions of their hit shows on Norwegian television for the recent years.
Survivor and Amazing Race.
Big Brother. Voice, American
Kardashians.
Idol.
Kardashians.
Things, you know, that are entertaining as opposed to Norwegian television, which features some. These are some of the hits from the recent years on Norwegian TV. The view from a camera mounted on top of a train for a seven-hour journey. They put a camera on a train, turned it on, train drove around for 7 hours. That was a show. They put it on television.
For all seven days?
Freaking awesome.
Did they highlight? Did they edit it together?
No, you must have misunderstood me. 7 hours of footage from the top of a train. That was the show.
It must suck to live there if they're watching that.
Can you imagine? 18 hours of salmon swimming upstream. I don't want to do anything I like for 18 hours.
Yeah.
Let alone watch salmon swimming upstream.
Yes! Norway! You know what happens? You take like a 6 hour break and sleep and you come
you know
back.
What comes back?
Salmon.
You know what the salmon are doing? Swimming upstream.
I get the train show. I understand the train show.
No, you don't. It's seven hours of a train show.
Right, but it's one of the most beautiful rides in the world, you know, across country and everything like that, and the scenery changes every minute. I don't get the salmon show. I don't know why the salmon show, when hour 11 is the same as hour 16, I don't get why that needs to be so long.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
How about the 30-hour nonstop interview with a local author?
30 hours? 30
hours. Are you talking
serious?
About a guy who wrote a book.
Could you talk to anyone for 30 hours?
He could read you the book in less time than it would for him to talk about the book.
That's crazy.
I don't know what you ask him in hour 28. I just don't. I don't know what's... Do you like pasta? Is that where you're at?
And lastly, my personal favorite, a 134-hour live broadcast of a ferry traveling along Norway's coastline.
Don't clap.
Stop with the clapping.
Stupid.
That show had an audience of 2.5 million viewers. Approximately half the population of Norway was watching that show.
Half of Norway.
Half of Norway was watching a 134-hour live broadcast of a ferry going along the coastline of Norway. They have just nude women with giant cans standing along the beach in Norway. Otherwise, I'm not watching a minute of it.
I'm bored!
And that was the woman on the coastline. She was standing there flashing her cans to the camera. She was bored.
Can you please stop talking about Norway?
A Norwegian media professor says the reason the shows are so popular is because they offer an escape from the crazy media world.
See, every once in a while, you got to slow it down.
In Norway, of course.
One Oslo resident who
hard to keep up,
who watched the 30-hour interview live with the author, said it's about taking it easy. You can actually just stop life and sit in a chair for 30 hours.
Who wants to do that for 30 hours?
Not just run around stressing, working, sleeping, eating, stressing, working, sleeping, eating.
Man, what kind of stress is going on in Norway?
Finally, you take that 30-hour break you've always needed and just watch an author talk about his book. Coming soon to Norwegian television, I kid you not, a live knitting show.
That's a joke.
That is real. You'll watch someone knit. We declare war on Norway immediately.
I agree.
President Obama, get on the stick.
We got to do some YouTube searches and see if they put up that 30 hours of interview with the author. We got to see that. He's excited.
And that's it. Now we know the answer to why Norway is Bean's favorite country.
Because it's the most boring place on earth.
The only place that makes him feel exciting. Yeah. When he shows up there, he's like the life of the party of Norway.
I'm the Flash when I go to Norway.
Today's celebrity birthday is musician Paul McCartney, 71 years old today. How about that? Paul McCartney, 71 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
How about that? Paul McCartney.
Looking for a sign that you wanted the music. I had my finger on the button.
I could tell you were ready to go. So I kept saying, Paul McCartney. Every other time I'd say, Paul McCartney, all day long, the music would just come in. Trouble!
Now, how about this song, Kevin? You like this one?
I think he's talking about this one, Kevin. This song we just played.
Birthday.
The
Beatles. Song. You like that? I know you're not a big Beatles fan. Hello. What about that one? You like that one? Right?
Like it.
I'm not following this showbiz.
It
no, it's
pretty
stupid.
Hard, though.
Well, it's stupid.
Stupid.
That's a stupid song.
Absurd. That song is stupid?
They say stupid. It's your birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Seriously?
Really? Is it written by a second grader?
No.
All right, then F you.
It's finally an option to another F goddamn
you.
Birthday song. That
this is no
sings.
Better.
It's much better.
They say, I'm not positive it's your birthday, but they say it is. Happy birthday to
so
you.
So you're saying that Birthday
Dumb.
By the Beatles
Dumb.
Is a stupid
that
song.
That is correct.
Why does Kevin hate
birthdays?
It was written by a second grader.
Wow. Oh, man.
Hard man to
say it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Stupid,
wow.
Stupid, absurd birthday. Song.
Poet.
Birthday.
Now that's a song.
It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Eat your heart out, Paul McCartney.
Yep.
That one's way better than Paul McCartney.
Isabella Rossellini, 61. Blake Shelton turns 37 years old today. Stephen Chen, guitarist for Airborne Toxic Event, is 35. Different thing. Different
what?
Band.
Oh.
David Giantoli from Grimm. He's the star of that show, 33 years old. And Richard Madden, the actor from Game of Thrones, who played Robb Stark, 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Right. We got a guy baking as fast as we can. Kanye.
Take it easy, Kanye.
Yeezy.
Tomorrow morning.
Take it easy.
See what you
see
did?
What I did there?
Tomorrow morning we have Clipper Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes, I'm sorry, talking about the NBA Finals.
Awesome.
It is
and their new coach.
Game six.
And their new coach. Is that going to happen?
I don't know for sure.
Well, ask him. We'll ask him what he knows.
Wouldn't that be something?
Tatiana Maslany.
That's what I'm saying.
Is going to be in the studio from the BBC show Orphan Black, which is fantastic.
Why did Orphan got to be black?
Stupid diet you were on. Bean told us today about the sunshine diet. That was dumb.
Effective, but apparently not a healthy way to try
well,
to
drop stop
the
eating.
Weight.
There are entire nations in Africa who are on that diet.
On the sunshine diet.
Yeah. A large part of Somalia, I believe. Ethiopia. A lot of Ethiopians are on the sunshine diet. Damn woman. Stupid woman.
And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.